What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The gentleman who joins us was the head football coach at Garfield Heights High School. He played quarterback at Kent State University. He's a high school teacher, and when he doesn't do that, he writes incredibly good analysis for Cleveland.com about all things football at all levels. He's Lance Reisland. Lance, good to have you with us.
How are you, Lance?
Hey, guys. How are you? Thanks for having me.
He's also spent a couple of Fridays sitting next to me calling high school football games, having some fun.
You poor unfortunate soul, I apologize.
We had a lot of laughs. I'll tell you what, that was a, those nights were very, very fun. I look forward to the future doing that with you.
Yeah, we did have some fun, despite the cold temperatures at InfoSystem Stadium that night. So,
oh my goodness.
You've written a couple of things that are perfect for right now. First of all, Ohio State going up against Notre Dame tonight. You're a coach. Your dad was a longtime college coach, high school coach at Garfield Heights. You've known football. You've been breaking down tape since you were 7 years old. Is this as cut and dry Ohio State is a big favorite as everybody seems to think it is?
Well, I think it comes down to, first of all, what does Ohio State try to do? Notre Dame can kind of, if Notre Dame lulls them into the Michigan game plan where they're going to run the ball 14 times, in that A or B gap, Ohio State could have some trouble. You know, I think for Notre Dame's perspective, they got to avoid that onslaught early. Ohio State has just, since the Michigan game, those on-script plays that, Chip Kelly has had, going into the game have been absolutely dominant. So they got to make sure that they stay with that mindset. If they can stop the run and force, the quarterback to beat them, I think they're going to be in good shape. Sometimes you don't want to overthink it, but if they don't have the right game plan, they go in with the, Lou Holtz has made them mad, and we're going to prove how tough we are. That doesn't really work for Ohio State. That's not how they're built. They're not soft. Everybody says they're soft. It's just not how they practice. If they get a light box, they got to get the ball out to those receivers. If they get a heavy, if they get a light box, they got to run the ball. And if they get a heavy box, they got to get out to those receivers. So it just comes down to initially, can Notre Dame withstand the onslaught? And do they stick with what they do well and not try to get into a phone booth and fight with Notre Dame?
Well, and it seemed, Lance, especially in that Oregon game, the whole idea behind it was we're going to do a bunch of motion. We are going to force Oregon to have to communicate. And if they cannot communicate with each other, we're going to have Jeremiah Smith running down the middle of the field wide open, or we're going to have Emeka Ibuka running wide open. Is that the similar game plan that you see against Notre Dame? Is, hey, we're going to do a bunch of motion, we're going to do a bunch of different things to force these guys to talk and put them in positions they aren't as comfortable in?
Well, yeah, especially if you're in zone, right? So if you're in zone and you're trying to double and you're trying to get that safety over top, that's hard, especially when you get movement. Now, what I think Chip Kelly's done an amazing job with is that teams are playing off man. So if you get press man, like Tennessee did Jeremiah Smith, it's real easy. Don't overthink it. You don't have to be an X of those guys. If they're going to press Jeremiah Smith with no help over top, you take a chance. Now, the thing that teams that I think sometimes give offensive coordinators trouble, I know it did me, is when teams play man and they're off, which means they're 5 to 10 yards off, which means it kind of takes away the vertical because they can run with it because they're already deep. But if you look what Ohio State has done with that, with their man beaters, is they've brought Jeremiah Smith underneath the coverage. They've done it with their backs, but especially with Jeremiah Smith, that's because that guy has to come such a long way now. So if you're going to take away the vertical but still be in man, they're running that underneath stuff, and they've done a great job with that. And that's been part of that script that Chip Kelly, knowing how teams are going to attack them, It's really good. So I see them using motion. I see them putting Smith in different spots. But the big thing they got to do is they got to make sure that what kind of man is it and how they're going to attack, depending on what leverage they get from the DB.
Lance Reisland's joining us, and Lance has written some great breakdowns of Ohio State against Notre Dame. You can see on Cleveland.com. I think that what's happened in college football recently, Lance, with especially the transfer portal and NIL, it's obviously changed the game. I think it's an interesting thing to pay attention to. Will Howard comes in after going to Kansas State for 4 years. And in all honesty, when he was at Kansas State, he was okay. You know, he had one pretty decent year, his senior year, and the first couple of years didn't play a whole lot. Then he comes to Ohio State, and he's running this machine that's a terrific offense. And Riley Leonard, you can make the same argument. You know, he was okay at Duke, but then he goes to Notre Dame, and he just – it fits with what's going on right now. Is that – do you think that's the trend in something that's going to happen a lot in college football, where a guy goes for 3 or 4 years at some school – And then, boom, all of a sudden, you know, right when he's about ready to go, he transfers to a bigger school. And can a school like Ohio State or like Notre Dame survive that way, going for, you know, like a quarterback for a year or so without developing their own guys?
Well, NIL is kind of taking it that way, right? The Porter NIL. The thing that's really hurting is high school recruiting. But in terms of what those guys are successful with is you're as a quarterback, regardless of the position, even though it's the most important position in football, you're still only as good as the people around you. So when he comes into Ohio State, he has a tremendous offensive line. He has three receivers that are all going to play in the NFL. He has two tailbacks going to play in the NFL, a really good play designer in Chip Kelly and Ryan Day. They both do a really good job with attacking defenses. So, you know, if you think you can fit in those systems, and they're going to help you get to the next level, if you think that's what you're going to do, then yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of that. I think a lot of it comes down to money too, right? Who's going to give these guys the most money to go where they want to play? You know, regardless of who you are, and as coaches, I will say this, and my dad always said this to me too, it doesn't matter what we know as coaches. You win with players. You win with athletes. You win with people who can make plays in space. And that's what Ohio State has. And, you know, obviously Notre Dame, the scheme fits them, right? Power run. He's pretty good at that, the play action stuff. So I see it, you know, I see NIL, you know, kind of leveling out. It's kind of in that wild, wild west, right? When you look back to the early 80s and 90s where, you know, the highest bidder wins right now. I think there's going to be some regulations that maybe equal the playing field a little bit. If it doesn't, I see the Ohio States and the Notre Dames and the Oregons continuing to get higher and higher because they'll be able to financially afford it.
Lance Reisland joining us. Cleveland.com is where you can read him. Joining us on the Thompson Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You have a killer piece out right now on Tommy Rees and what he brings to the Browns and what it looked like in Alabama. And I know a lot of fans, I've had a couple conversations with this, who are wondering the same exact question, which is, how do you take a guy who is part of one of the worst offenses we have ever seen and claim that he's going to be change?
Well, it's funny because I've gotten that question a number of times too. Not so nicely said, by the way, but the thing about what Tommy Rees does, first thing it tells me Kevin Stefanski has the keys back, and that's really good because if you're going to stick with Kevin Stefanski as your coach and he's proven that he can win, then you got to kind of build around Kevin Stefanski. So that tells me that they're giving the keys back to Kevin, which I appreciate because if you're a head coach and your job's on the line, then go down swinging with what you know, because it's really not, you know, I appreciate the fact that he wants to innovate and I think he does listen to other coaches, but as a coach, you only know what you know, and more importantly, I've said this a bunch, you only know what you can fix. And if you can't fix what you're running, which I think he ran into this year, it becomes very, very hard. You're reaching in a bag, trying to grab plays instead of trying to set the offense up. Now, what Tommy Rees gives you is he gives you the power run game and he gives you the play action off it. Then what he's going to do is he's going to introduce 12-person, 13-personnel back in, which Kevin Stefanski loves, and it's a great scheme, especially if those tight ends can block and get vertical. It puts that defense in a bind with personnel. Do you go with heavy personnel because it's two tight ends and then you get in the pass game, or do you go nickel and then you give yourself smaller guys where you can run the ball? And that's kind of what that 12 and 13 personnel does. You know, so that's going to help. And then finally, you know, everybody has talked a bunch about the motion. The motion comes down to, there's two different types of motion. There's the 49ers, the Rams, where they're trying to stretch you horizontally and vertically with their motion. Their motion's really not for window dressing per se. That's what Tommy Rees will do. He'll bring in the motion, but what they want to do in a Stefanski scheme is they want to suck you up. They want to power run game you, so you're reducing down in the line of scrimmage. You're bringing the safeties down. You're getting everybody trying to stop the run. Then they're trying to throw it over the top. So the motion creates these gaps and these poor gap integrities by linebackers because the eye candy from that motion gets them out of place so you can run the football. And then if you run the football, you have to bring the safety down. Then you take the shot over top. So initially, like I said, I agree with people in terms of one new stuff. But what it says is this is Kevin Stefanski's team. He's got to win this year. We're going to give you guys that help you with what you do. And I think that's what Tommy Rees will do. He'll come in. He's going to add some stuff. Now, he will add some RPOs. He'll add some stuff. Tommy Rees was really good with Milroe at Alabama of trying to fit, trying to match it to the what the skill set is. But this is going to be a power run game with play action off it, and that's what Tommy Rees is going to help Kevin Stefanski with.
Do you think he can help Kevin change things, or will he just reinforce what Kevin's always done? It sounds like you're leaning toward he can give him some extra stuff to work with, Lance.
Well, I think, you're going to see a lot of wide zones. You're going to see counter. You're going to see those power runs. And it's really not the scheme per se. It's what's going on up front. So you're going to get a lot of power double teams up front, whether it's wide zone, whether it's a gap scheme. But you're going to see the emphasis on the run. It's like the Ohio State thing. Ohio State's not Michigan. Michigan says we're going to run the ball regardless of what you put in the box. That's kind of what Kevin Stefanski does occasionally as well. And with that, you have to have that mindset, and you have to practice that way. You can't do these things unless you practice. And that's what happened with the Browns this year, is that they're back and forth with so many different types of schemes and things they were trying to, tweak and stuff. It just becomes too hard. I think what they're saying is, if you go back to 2021 when they were really successful, if you go back to Flacco, even if you go to Jameis Winston when he's not turning the ball over, they're best when they power run, set up the run, bring the people down the box and throw it over the top, either with the tight end in the middle of the field or somebody over the top on a vertical. So, obviously, but I think he will bring in some design from college where you're going to get, if you do get a super heavy box, you have some outlets with some RPOs and stuff. But the run game, I think we'll go back to that powerful, nasty, double teams, sense of urgency run game that has made the Browns successful before they brought Deshaun in.
Lance Reisland's joining us, and Lance has written some great football breakdown stuff that you can see on Cleveland.com. Lance played quarterback at Kent State, head coach at Garfield Heights, and his dad, Chuck Reisland, longtime college football assistant coach and head coach at Garfield Heights as well. I hear time and time again, okay, well, it's, we're working in the same offense, so it doesn't matter who calls plays. Lance, I've never understood that. As a guy who never called plays or designed an offense, I've never understood that, because I would think calling plays is an art in and of itself. Does it matter who calls the plays?
For me, it does. Now, I think what they're saying, and I understand this as well. So when you get into an offensive staff room, it's analysis, paralysis by analysis. You have every situational thing you could ever want. Red zone, coming out, first and 10, third and medium, third and long. And basically what it ends up happening is that you have a set of plays within those situations. So I think when, Kevin Stefanski says we can all do that, he is really good at communicating. He is really good in getting his coaches to invest. So I still think you do have to have some feel, and you do have to go away from the numbers a little bit. And if the numbers tell you to go on fourth down, but your left guard's not, hurt his ankle, then punt the ball, things like that. There's a feel to it that, football is kind of getting away from, which I don't particularly like. I'm a little bit older, so sometimes you just get rolling. A guy's got a hot hand, et cetera. But what Kevin is saying when he says that is, everybody's on the same page, because in the meetings they're saying, this is what we're going to do on third and medium. This is what we're going to do this week in the red zone. So even though Kevin's calling the plays, they all kind of know what's coming. That being said, I still think Kevin is one of the best play designers. If you go back to 1920, he is so good in the red zone, which is in the NFL is an offense that's totally new compared to the rest of what you run. It's a different, it's very, very, very important. It's important at all levels, but in the pros, scoring touchdowns instead of field goals is very important. So I still think there's feel to it, and I think it's important that Kevin call the plays. I think it's important that he gets influx. Like, I'd be super pumped if Rees was on the phones with him saying, hey, we talked about third and two. We're at the, 4-yard line. We're expecting man coverage on Njoku. Let's work him on a corner route or whatever it may be. I still think it's important that he has his thoughts, because in your mind, again, The offense that he runs, he knows what works. He knows what coverages are they're going to run against the personnel groups and the formations. Those are things that Kevin has done his whole life with his scheme. And when you do it within your scheme and you get, you know, and people help you, you know, I still think it's important that he calls it and has everybody else's input. But I don't, you know, going back to your question, I think it's important that the OC, it's his game. And with Kevin, it's important because his job's on the line. Now, I'm also a little bit biased because I was also a head coach and a play caller. And I think it's just, you know, it's your team. It's your future. It's your job. So if all that's on the line, then you make the final call.
All right, Lance. Then the other side of this is the 25-year odyssey that we've been in the midst of right now, trying to find a quarterback who can execute any kind of an offense. And so you wrote a really good piece involving Shedeur Sanders and what you think of him. How do you think he would fit in a Kevin Stefanski system if that was the direction the Browns decided to go?
Or Ward or Milroe, any of these guys that they might be able to take at number two.
Well, you know, I like Shedeur Sanders, and there's two things that happen. First of all, you have to, as for me, the eye in the sky never lies. So when you watch the film, I think a lot of people think that, you know, his dad is Dion and he's a prima donna and he has all these things. But when you watch him on film, he got sacked 52 times and he got hit over and over and over. And he gets up, his fundamentals stay strong. He understands, he pre-snap processes very well, in my opinion. He does not lose his footwork. He does not lose his mechanics. And the thing I like about him is I actually think Cam Ward, if you talk about a ceiling, Cam Ward might be able to get a little bit higher. But if you're saying that Kevin Stefanski is your coach, I believe that Shedeur Sanders gives you a guy that fits the system. And what I mean by that, they always say, what is, you know, staying on structure? Well, structure means, you know, you're staying how it looks in the playbook, right? So you're going, here's the coverage, here's the hot read, here's my progressions, 1, 2, to 3. If I don't like it, work the check down. If not, throw it away. That the ability to improvise and things like that, though that's incredible and the elite guys do it, they have not had a ton of success with that. You know, Kevin has not had a ton of success with guys who do that. And Ward to me is a comp to me is Deshaun from 2020. And if you watch that film, Deshaun's at his best when he's improvising. Now, he hasn't done that very well, obviously, with the Browns, with health and everything else. So I just think Shedeur Sanders stays on structure. He's very, very coachable. He's got great footwork. He knows the game. You know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, you're the quarterback of the Browns. You're going to get a lot of people coming at you and telling you things and how, you know, I think he's been around that circus his whole life. So I don't think that'll necessarily affect him as much. But my process comes down to the film. He makes all the throws on the film. He stands in there tough. He's a pocket guy. He moves well within the pocket. I just think he's a great fit. And I think he would be really good in the Kevin Stefanski scheme.
If you're the Browns and you like him, and Dion has made noise about wanting to protect his son as to where he might go, and all the general thinking is Cleveland's not one of those spots, how would you try and sell Dion on Shedeur coming to the Browns?
Well, I think, you know, if you look at if Kevin's saying I'm back in charge, and that's the one thing that's got to happen. So the head coach is in charge of how the quarterbacks play, and it, you know, if you don't think he's valuable enough at two because of that system, then you got to go with a guy who is a game changer. You got to go with Hunter. You got to go with Gentry. You even maybe trade down and you get the Banks kid, the big tackle out of Texas. You know, I like the McMillan kid, the receiver out of Arizona. There's, you know, do you go with the Graham kid out of Michigan? He's a stud inside. So I think if you don't think Sanders is a guy who can change stuff for you, then you get like, you go for like a Kirk Cousin, a guy, Sam Darnold, even though he played, his body works really good. And those guys are great within structure. And I think when people break down the film, I think it helps when you say, all right, this guy's not good when things break down. Well, he's going to work on structure. And if you look at Sam Darnold and you look at Kirk Cousins, they're great when everything's on structure and they're not when it's not. So there's some guys, it depends on who they think can change and can they change and can they make the Sanders believe that, you know, with Kevin in charge, he's pretty good. And I'd be willing to say if Stefanski's in charge in making the calls on offense and how things work, you know, I think you'd want to play for him. He's a guy who's a really good play designer and has had great success with the guys on any center.
Lance, great thoughts. Appreciate your time, buddy.
Thank you, Lance. Oh,
I appreciate you guys having me anytime.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how.
Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ance Reisland joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You can go read his piece. It went to Cleveland.com today on Tommy Rees. Three ways Tommy Rees will help Kevin Stefanski transform the Browns offense in 2023. A film review. Lance has done a lot of those. Clearly, he knows what he's talking about.
Yep.
What do you think about what he said about Shedeur Sanders? I'll give you my thoughts after Hody has a 2020. That's some special stuff to Cleveland.com. Where it's in-depth film breakdown stuff.
Great stuff. We'll make you smarter.
Great to have Lance with us. And he really likes Shedeur Sanders. And it's funny because Lance took it past he's Deion's kid, which I think so many people are having a hard time getting past.
Right.
And Lance looked at, as you just heard Lance say, I looked at the tape. You see on the tape this. And... you know, if you think about it, that's what it's really all about, isn't it? And Lance liked the idea of Shedeur fitting into this system with Kevin Stefanski, and it would be something that would work for Deion Sanders if he was open-minded about it. Interesting. I'm Jeff Phelps. Dan Menigan's in for Andy today.
Shedeur's made a lot of sense for this team for a decent period of time for that exact reason. Like, he can... he's in a bit of a pro-style system right now. Pat Shurmur is offensive coordinator. I know, whatever. But he is an offensive coordinator who's been in the league for a long period of time. Well, but you know how this goes. Anytime you bring up a former Browns coach, they have been able to have no accomplishments whatsoever because they stunk with the Browns. You know how people look at these things. That's why you have to give that as a precursor. I get it from that regard. The questions that I've got with Shedeur, and I got to do some digging myself, is A, how much of the sacks are on a poor offensive line, and how many sacks are on Shedeur himself? That's the one thing I need an answer to. The second question that I have with it, too, is he a point-and-shoot quarterback? By that, I mean, like, I've always been explained that in the Kubiak-Shanahan system, it's always been explained to me this way, that the head coach is playing quarterback. And by that, I mean... the head coach is the one who is going, you will throw here, you will throw here, you will then hit the check down, and if those aren't there, you will get rid of it immediately. And the head coach is the one in the headset going, you will throw to this guy on this, you know, he will get open, you will throw it here. And I wonder how much Shedeur can operate with that ideal, and I wonder if maybe it moves, you know, how many of the sacks are on him, and how many of the sacks are on a poor offensive line because it was tough to get offensive linemen in the transfer portal. And that was the thing that kind of sank Colorado this season? And so those are the two questions I've got when it comes to Shador.
In 2 years at Colorado, pretty unbelievable numbers. 64 touchdown passes and only 13 interceptions. And he completed 72% of his passes.
He can sling it.
Which makes, you know, makes you think, Dan, is it what you're talking about? Is it, you know, just aim and throw and, you know, obviously it's somebody who's going to end up being a very high draft pick going in the NFL draft. I wonder if the Browns think so much of him that they would try to sell Deion on the idea and convince, because it sounds like you're going to have to convince Deion Sanders that your team is a good fit for his son, which we get. I do understand that. And if that's the case, okay. Then you go and you try and sell it. But if you really like him and you can't sell it, what do you do? You know?
So our social media mentions on the artist formerly known as Twitter are powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. And you can always send a message to the show at CLE Talking Heads, like CLE USMC sent. We know one thing for sure under the system with Pat Shurmur. Sanders has learned you could either run the ball or you could pass the ball.
It's pretty funny.
That's a great tweet. Thank you. I needed that laugh. That was a great tweet. I appreciate it. But that's the question that I have.
You said it before. Pat Shurmur is actually a really highly thought of offensive coach.
Right.
It just didn't work here very well.
He got handed the keys way too soon to be a head coach in this league. And frankly, I don't know if he, who knows, but he was a decent offensive mind for a period of time. He got handed the keys way too soon. And he kind of got hung out to dry throughout the entire thing. And I'm not trying to make excuses because, trust me, there was poor play throughout the entire thing and the whole Holmgren era and everything else. But, like, he's been decent when he's been in Colorado. And they've got a pretty good offense. And Shador has been, you know, slinging it through there. It's just how many of the sacks, because he took a boatload of sacks. How many of those are on him for holding onto the ball too long, trying to make the perfect pass too much? And how many of those are on the fact that he had a poor offensive line? And I need to go look and figure that out for myself. I mean, Lance is in and it's a great piece and he's watched it and he can sell, you know, he's put out a really interesting thought and it's made me look differently at Shador than I would have to begin with. But that's my question. And if the case is he holds onto the ball too long and doesn't process fast enough, that screams you need to sit. And if you need to sit, will the Cleveland Browns allow you to sit? Or is it going to be your number two? Get out there, kid. You'll figure it out.
See, and that goes back to our big picture that we're doing here with finding us a quarterback. If you draft from all thoughts, anybody here at number two,
right?
It would appear that you need to go out and get a veteran quarterback and bring that guy in and let him play for a year or so. Which, you know, if Kirk Cousins and Kevin Stefanski have that relationship, think about Cousins and a draft choice. Think about Carson Wentz and a draft choice. And know, with the veteran knowing, you've got a year, maybe two, but I would think even just a year is I mean, Patrick Mahomes sat behind Alex Smith for a year. That was enough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you don't need Jordan Love sitting there for 3 years.
You don't need Aaron Rodgers
sitting there for 3 years.
Yep.
But especially when you see the rookie quarterback stepping into the league now, Bo Nix, Drake May, when he got his chance. Jaden Daniels, certainly.
Penix looks decent towards the end, but looks he also solid. Sat for a chunk of games.
Caleb Williams had his moments in a tough situation in Chicago. The rookies are coming into the league and playing. And if this group of rookies isn't ready to do that, is the organization willing to bring them along slowly? And it's critical.
That's my answer. It's the reason why I have been screaming I don't want to take a quarterback at two and will continue. Is because to me, these guys need to sit and they're not going to sit. They're the second pick. You know, they're getting thrown out there and boy, you can just, you recycle through those guys too fast when you throw them out there too early.
Fighting Irish and the Buckeyes, who wins tonight? I'll tell you who I think wins and why coming up next on Baskin and Phelps.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.